Chapter 12. You can open up there. We're going chapter by chapter through the Bible, and so we're in the book of Luke in the New Testament. This is our last book of the New Testament, and we'll have taught the whole New Testament, and all of those books are online, and we've taught from Genesis to Isaiah, and all of that's online, so you can go through almost the whole Bible with us online if you want to do that. And this morning, we're looking at a message called Ready for Jesus's Return. So open up to Luke 12:35. We're going to learn a lot about the end times as we go through Luke 12 to 24. We're going to learn about the rapture. We'll talk about what that is. We're going to learn about the second coming. What's the difference between the rapture and the second coming? Is it biblical to believe that Jesus is going to come for his church before God pours out his wrath on planet Earth, known as the tribulation? We're going to learn about all these things as we go through the coming chapters. We'll get more and more teaching on the end times. But this morning, we're looking at ready for Jesus's return. So the Bible tells us the end from the beginning. And God says, I'm going to do that so you would know that I'm God. And so he gives us 300 prophecies of Christ's first coming, but over 500 prophecies of Christ's second coming, that Jesus is coming again. And that's the question to ask yourself. Am I ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus' return? If he came today, are you ready? I remember being newly saved, and the question was presented to me, what would you change? And I was like, I would change everything, you know? Like, no, I'm not ready. I'm not living the life I want to live. You know, you want to live a life that you hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Are you living a life that if the Lord came today or this next week or this summer, that you would hear those words, well done? Let's look at Luke 12, 35, and let's stand up as we look at these words. We'll put them up on the screen. Stand up for a minute. We're going to do it. Let your waist be girded. Okay, go ahead and do that for a minute. Okay, you're all girded. Very little girding going on. Okay, I guess you can be seated if you're all girded. Okay, you can be seated. Right? Do we read the Bible and we're like, what? Skip that. Like, what? Let's get to something good. What does that even mean? Well, in biblical days, they wore long robes, and to gird your waist was to reach down and pull up your robe and tuck it in your belt so you could get to work. Look at the way that the New International Version, NIV, also some people call it the Nearly Inspired Version. Just kidding. But look how it translates it. A little more modern. Be dressed, ready for service. Right? Jesus is transitioning here that we need, as we talk about his return, we need to be working. We need to be ready for service. We're saved not to observe, but we're saved to serve. Right? Remember the Old Testament, God said to Pharaoh, let my redeemed people go that they might serve me. Over and over, let my people go so they can serve me. You're saved not to observe others serving, but you're saved to serve. Jesus is our example that he says, I didn't come to be served. We shouldn't come to church to be served. Thank you for serving my kids. Thank you for serving me a Bible. Thank you for leading me in worship. Thank you for teaching me. But we should have the heart that we want to serve, right? Jesus said this. He said, I've glorified your name on the earth, right before he died. How did he glorify God the Father on the earth? I've finished the work that you've given me to do. That's what we all want to be able to say. God, I glorified you. I was about the Father's business. I did what you had for my life to do. And so we want that to grow in us. It's meant to grow in you. What has God laid hold of me for? Why do I exist? What does God want to do? Am I just an observer? Is that what church is? I come and I observe? Because we're saved to serve. And look at some of these passages, Romans 12:6. Having then, and I'll just put it up, having then gifts differing according to the grace. God's so gracious, he gives each of us gifts, but it's gonna look different. But let us use them. So what gift do you have? Find that out. Ask the people that know you. Ask your friends. Ask people you're in house church with. What gift do I have? Whatever gift you have, you need to be using it. If you're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, you need to be using your gift. What gift do you have? Is it buried? Is it dormant? You know, the Bible has those passages that says you got to stir that up. It's in you to be used, not just like, oh, I used it back then, or I've never learned to use my gift. And if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, that just means to serve. Maybe there's a gift of the Holy Spirit to serve others. Let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts or encourages in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads, be diligent, lead diligently, he who criticizes sharply. Some of you are laughing, some of you are going, where does it say that? It doesn't say that. Some people somehow think they do have the gift of criticalness. They have an amazing ability to see the speck in your eye. But Jesus said they can't see the plank in their own eye. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Some people are just gifted. You have the gift of mercy. You see the homeless. You see the hurting. You see the single mom. There's just so much mercy in your heart. And you know, I was thinking today, I was walking and praying, and I was thinking, I don't know what the number is right now in our church of how many people are using their gift, but the number that came to my heart was maybe somewhere around 30% of our body is using their gift. Right? The church is such a beautiful thing, but can you imagine the church we would be if the 30% grew to 60% of us using our gift? This would be an entirely different church. And let's just read a couple more passages that talk about dressed and ready for service. 1 Peter 4:10, same type of thing, but Peter is saying it instead of Paul. As each one has received a gift. Each one, you've received a gift. What's your gift? I was with people in Jordan that they're living there as a life to reach Muslims. And I was just speaking into their life. You have a gift of faith to live here together, to raise your child here. If anyone ever asks you your gift, you make sure to say you have the gift of faith. And we each one have a gift. Minister it. Same thing Paul said to one another. This is one of the one another's. There's all these one another's that the body loves and ministers to each other and serves each other. As minister it to one another as good stewards. So I want to ask you a question of the manifold grace of God. Manifold means varied and just abundant. God moves so in such various ways, but so abundantly through each one of us. And I want to ask you, the gifts that you have, maybe you could think of one. Well, I have the gift of teaching. I clearly have the gift of leadership. I do think I have the gift of mercy. Or you think of your gifts. I have a gift of prophecy. Are you a good steward? Are you stewarding it? Are you going to hear a well done, good and faithful servant? You're using your gift well. As we have gifts, we want to be using them. Look what Ephesians says, that Jesus is the head of the body, is the previous verse, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working. You know when the body finally starts being effective? When every part does its share, that's when the church will just grow and you can't stop the growth. For the edifying of itself in love, the whole body, edifying means built up. The whole body is going to be built up. Not if like one person is ministering or like, wow, there were 45 people here today ministering. Or maybe on a given Sunday, there might be as many as 100 plus serving here. But what if every part was doing its share? What kind of church would that be? The body just grows and grows and grows when everyone's engaged. And so the church ready for Jesus' return is a church that's, the first thing we see here is serving. You're working, right? This is a big part of Jesus coming. He hasn't come yet. So get to work. There's work to be done. Until he comes, we're to be dressed and ready to serve, not observing, but serving. And then the second half of that verse, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. So lamps in the first century, we're going to read about it in the Bible today, were oil lamps. And oil in the Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit. So how can your lamp be burning? It has to be a work of the Spirit. You have to be in a place where there's, you know, that Zechariah 4, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. There has to be in that Zechariah 4 passage, there's the oil flowing into the lamp. There has to be a flow of oil. There has to be a work of the Spirit. It has to be a continual life. The New Testament says, it's kind of strange, the Greek wording, be you continually being filled. So someone said, why do we need to continually be filled? And someone else said, because we leak. You know, and that's not a very good theological answer, but we need a continual filling. If we're going to be these lamps that are burning, that's just the way we need to live every day. We're just every event, every prayer. We're just aware that if I'm going to be a church that is ready for Jesus' coming, then I need a work of the Holy Spirit to just be causing my light to shine. And that'd be a question to ask yourself. Are you a burning lamp? Stop and think about that. Are you a burning lamp? Is your lamp burning bright? Be just a question to evaluate. And listen to what Jesus said in John 8. He said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but you'll have this light of life. That's what the Lord does in us. If you're following, if you're a true follower, you have light. Your lamp is burning. Everywhere you go, you bring light with you. And, you know, Jesus said, not only am I the light, but he says as his followers, Matthew 5, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill can't be hidden. When you're in Israel and you look over across the Sea of Galilee, Tiberias is there. You can't hide this massive city on a hillside. A city that is set on a hill can't be hidden. You're not supposed to hide your light. They don't light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. And this is interesting when we learn about how do I let my light shine? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's kind of interesting. Our light shines when there's works in our life. Right, when we're doing, and works don't save us, but works do cause our lamp to burn brightly. Whatever the good works are, whatever God has for you to walk in, however God might be leading you, that's like we were in Jordan, and there was a man with the tour company, a Muslim man named Hani. And we were working with Hani, and, you know, you could tell he was a little perturbed with us, you know, Westerners, and, you know, Jordan is a rather poor country, and he was our guide as we came across the border, and And he let a little frustration slip, you know, that he, you know, he's a little frustrated with us, but he backed up and he's doing his job to lead us. And the night came when Susie and I left Jordan. We had to take an hour taxi ride to Amman Airport. And the group was all gone, and it was at 9:30 at night to get for a 1 o'clock flight. And man, were we vulnerable. Our taxi driver didn't speak English. There were police with M16s pulling traffic over several stops. Trucks were broken down. Cars were broken down. I mean, we were just vulnerable. I had to get to an international airport. We weren't 100% sure that the taxi driver knew where he was taking us. And we just were very vulnerable. We got to the airport, and it said Royal Jordanian Airlines. Said nothing about United. And I called Hani. I didn't realize it was after 10. I'm like, hey, are we at the right place? And he's like, yes, you're at the right place. But bon voyage, and I'm like, ooh, he's a little frustrated again. And I started thinking about it. Oh, I called him pretty late at night. So I sent him a WhatsApp message, and I just said, hey, Hani, I just want to thank you for caring for us. And I want to apologize. I realized it was late at night, and I apologize for that. I just felt like I needed to say that. And he sends back this emoji with the big eyes and the mouth open. Oh my gosh, like a Westerner apologized to me. And I prayed a prayer over him. He was just like, oh my gosh, like, is this really happening? And you know, God leads us in a whole variety of ways, doesn't he? That our light shines. And God wants our light to shine. He doesn't want us to hide our light. And I think that's responding to the Holy Spirit. Constantly, maybe it's saying you're sorry. Maybe it's doing something, serving somewhere, giving something, providing a need. But that's how our light shines, by our good works. Well, this is one of my favorite passages. You've probably heard it before. John 5:35. He, John the Baptist. I love this. Every time I read it, he was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. Whenever I read that, I think, Lord, that's what I want to be. I want to be a burning and shining lamp. And so we read here in our text about waist girded, and we read about our lamps burning. There's one other passage that we seem to quote when we were in Israel this year. I don't know why it was on our heart a lot. Bring it up. It's Matthew 12. It's a little bit of an obscure verse. It's quoted from Isaiah. Jesus says it, but I think sometimes when you read your Bible, you're like, yeah, I don't understand that, you know. But it's really a powerful verse. A bruised reed he will not break. A reed is what's used in musical instruments. And that is if your life is just barely making music right now. Maybe that's you. Like your life isn't really singing. It's not really making music the way God intended your life to make music. You know what? A bruised reed, he'll not break you. He wants you to make music again. I wonder if that's not a word for you. And smoking flax he will not quench. Again, we were in Israel and Jesus' words were just on our lips. Flax is what they used to make candle wicks out of. You know, if your life is just barely smoldering, maybe that describes you. Not really a flame, not really a light, definitely not a bright lamp burning. You know, the Lord's not going to quench. He's not going to extinguish you. He wants to fan that flame so that you're that bright and burning lamp. And so what we've seen so far, the church ready for Jesus's return is a church that's serving. We're dressed for service, our waists are girded, and we're burning brightly in the darkness. And then Jesus tells this parable, the parable of the returning master. And let's read a little bit farther down. We're told that these are parables, so we'll just read the parable, verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. When he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. So again, let's just look at what we're seeing. The church ready for Jesus' return is a church that's serving. You're using your gift. The church ready for Jesus' return is a church that's burning brightly in the darkness. And the church that's ready for Jesus' return is waiting for the Master. Master means Lord. You're waiting. You not only have your eyes on the outlook, you're paying attention to the politics, you're paying attention to the culture, you're looking outward at all times, but there's also an uplook. That Jesus is your Lord and you know he's coming. And you're living in a way that you're waiting for him. That's not off your radar. But you're waiting for his return. And we read on of this parable of the returning master. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes. So here's a new word we're introduced to, the church that's ready. Blessed are the servants, blessed or just the favor of God are on those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. I'm waiting, I'm working, I'm serving, I'm shining, but I'm watching. And this is just overwhelming, this verse. Assuredly, I say to you, I don't know if you've ever read this verse and understood it. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. So immediately you go, this is talking about Jesus. Jesus is the one who took his garments off, girded himself in the towel, took the job of the lowest servant, left an example for us by washing the disciples' feet, John 13. And he said, if I am your Lord and I've washed your feet, you also ought to serve one another, taking the lowliest jobs. And then he said, if you know these things, if you know to be a servant, if you know to serve in the job that nobody else wants to do, to take the lowest job, if you know these things and you do it, happy are you. A lot of people know they should be serving. But the people that are serving are the people that are happy. And it's as you know that verse, you understand this verse. You go, wait a minute, what does this say? Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself. Those who are blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, he finds watching. Why? What's going to happen for those that are watching? Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself. The Lord is going to gird himself and sit down with us to eat, and he's going to come and serve us in eternity. That's just overwhelming to think how blessed our lives are as Jesus's followers. And even more blessed, those who are keeping an eye on his coming, we're waiting, we're watching. And so just by view of summary, the church ready for Jesus' return is a church that's serving. My pastor used to always say that when the outlook looks bleak, the uplook looks glorious. And I think we're moving into times that we realize that we're burning brightly. The darkness is getting darker. The outlook isn't so great, but the uplook is great. And then we saw that we're waiting. And now the word watching has been introduced. And we read verse 38. If he should come in the second watch, that's a dark time of the night, 9 to 12. Or come in the third watch, 12 a.m. to 3, and find them so, that is where they're waiting and they're watching. Blessed are those servants. So pull up all of what we've seen so far. The church ready for Jesus' return. We have a couple new words introduced. Go to the next slide. That's new words introduced. The church is also waiting. We're watching. And we're blessed. There's blessing on those that are watching. And then there's a new parable introduced, verse 39. The parable, and we've probably heard of the parable of the thief in the night. Verse 39, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched. So more about watching. If a thief was going to break in your house and you knew it was at 3:30, he was coming through the window, you'd be up with your Glock out and you'd be standing there, you know, waiting to meet him. And so know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. This is another question. Am I ready? Kind of started with that question as we introduced the name of the study this morning. Am I ready? The Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. When he comes, am I ready? Is this the life I want to be living? Or does something need to change? Do I want to be living a different life? Do I want to be using my gift? Do I want to be serving? Do I want my light to be burning brighter? Do I want to be more aware of his coming? And let's do a little bit of review what we've seen this far in the chapter. This is what we've seen so far in the chapter. The church ready for Jesus' return is a church that is not, and this is what the chapter's been up till today. Let's review those things. The church that's ready for Jesus' return is not worrying. In fact, Jesus said, you're worrying, stop it. Don't you know how valuable you are, has been earlier in the chapter? Don't you know he's your heavenly Father? If you're worrying, stop. The Greek language is stop doing what you're doing. You don't have to live that way. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all, if you put God first, all these other things will be taken care of. Worrying accomplishes nothing. Prayer causes God to move in your life. The church ready for Jesus' return, we've learned this. This is review. Is not worrying, is not fearful. Right? There was that one verse that's unique to Luke that we read. It says, do not fear, just a couple verses back, do not fear little flock. Only Luke's gospel gives us those words. For it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, if you're the little flock, if you're part of the flock of God, that means that God's your shepherd. Jesus is your shepherd. You don't need to fear. We do fear. We all fear. But it's when we're fearing that we need to go, you know, I don't need to be living in fear. I have a good shepherd that's caring for me. And it's his good pleasure to see me through this life, and he's going to give me the kingdom. There's a song we sing in Israel about the children of Israel, and it's a very joyful song. It says, he hasn't brought us out this far to take us back again. He's brought us out to take us into the promised land. And I think when we're fearful, God brings us to that place where I don't need to be fearful. God hasn't brought this far to let me perish here. He's got a plan, and he's going to carry it out, and he's going to see me into the kingdom. So the church ready for Jesus' return is not worrying, is not fearful, is not greedy. We've had some strong teaching these last weeks on covetousness or greed, right? We're not to be living greedy lives. We're not laying up for ourselves treasure on earth. It could be worded, we're not merely laying up for ourselves, maybe it would be worded more correctly, laying up treasures for ourselves on earth, but we've been learning from Jesus to transfer our assets from earth, the temporal, to heaven, the eternal. Right? Well, you learn that from Jesus. You can't take your earthly wealth with you. So if you're just growing it and hoarding it and growing it and bigger barns, then you're living a foolish life. But Jesus said, start selling some of that. Start using it. Start using it to store up for yourself treasures in heaven that Those will be eternal. And so the church that is ready for Jesus' return is not greedy, it's not hoarding, but we're very aware of, you know what, I have one life to live and it'll soon be past. And it's only what you do for Jesus Christ that's going to last. Those are your treasures. You know, the Bible says when we die as believers, we're going to be judged. And so, some people hear that and they think, oh, I hope I make it to heaven. It's not a judgment that you find out if you made it or not. But it is a judgment by fire. And it's a very sobering concept, the bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ for believers, that the Bible says some people are going to find out their life was just wood, hay, and stubble. And when you're judged, you're going to be judged by fire. And what's going to happen to the wood, hay, and stubble? It's just going to go up. And it says some people will even be saved as through the fire. They're just going to come through singed. Just black, you know, the hair's going to be black. You're just like, wow, like everything on me is singed. Nothing left for eternal life except for I'm saved. Other people are going to come through and there's going to be gold and silver and precious stones, treasures in heaven. Things that you used your life for, people you poured into, money spent, time spent, effort given. Love poured out in such a way that you were laying up, you were transferring your wealth to wealth that lasts for eternity. So that's what the church is not in light of Jesus' return. And then we just summarize what we've been learning. The church ready for Jesus' return is a church that's serving. Is burning brightly in dark times. It does seem like that, right? The darker things are getting, we're either going to hide our light or your light is just brilliant. But we're to be a burning lamp, burning brightly, a church that's waiting for our master. We realize my Lord is coming, and that's I live with that awareness. Everything that's going on, all the pursuits, I live with an up look. I'm waiting. I'm watching. There's just an awareness of the church that's ready is a church that's blessed. We are so blessed. The day is going to come. Our master is going to come. We're going to eat with him. He's going to serve us. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. It's never entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Like we can't even comprehend how blessed we are. And then that last word we looked at, ready. We're constantly aware of that mindset. Am I ready? Am I living the life I want to be living if he does come at an unexpected time? And then I want to finish this morning with just another part of the New Testament, another passage that talks about this readiness. And let's just read it in closing this morning. Matthew 25, and maybe you know the parable. It's another parable of the 10 virgins. And I think it's where God would have us finish this morning. And we'll pick up in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, will be likened to 10 virgins. So we're going to read about these oil lamps. The kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins. The 10 virgins speak of the church. The New Testament calls us the virgin bride of Christ. We're to live pure lives. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Our heart is for Jesus. We're not in love with Jesus and other loves, but he's the love of our life. No other love like him. So the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom's coming. Jesus is coming. 5 of them were wise. 5 were foolish. So this really describes the last days. People living wise lives, people serving, people burning brightly, people ready, people watching, aware of the times that we're living in, and people that are living foolish lives. And our next study together, we'll even read about those that are going to go, oh yeah, the Lord's delaying. He's not coming. And so they live an abusive life. They live a drunk life. They live an angry life. We'll look at that in our next study together. But five of them were wise, five of them were foolish. And those who were foolish, verse 3, took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. That seems to be the period of church history we're in. The Lord's coming is delayed. Some have even concluded the Lord's not coming, but we're in this season that the bridegroom is coming, but he's delayed. And verse 6, at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil. We talked about oil lamps. Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy oil for yourselves. We can't give you the oil. You have to go, that transaction has to be done by you alone. It's not something I can give to you. And while they went, the bridegroom came. And here's language that Matthew uses, much like Luke uses. Those who were ready for Jesus's return is what we've been talking about. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. So the day's going to come that the Lord is going to come for his church. And we're currently living in a day and age of grace. And anyone can be saved. Anyone can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Whoever is thirsty, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. But the day is going to come when that age of grace is going to shut. And that's going to mark the beginning of 7 years. Again, we're going to cover all this forward and backwards as we go through Luke. But that's going to start a 7-year period known as the tribulation, where God is going to pour out his wrath on Christ rejecting planet Earth. And the question is, when the Lord comes, is he going to find you living a foolish life? Or is he going to find you living a wise life? And verse 11, afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord. So they look like the church. They're intermingled with the church. They have the language of the church down. They sound like the church. They say the same things. Lord, he's my Lord. Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, the difference between these foolish ones and the wise ones, he says to the foolish ones, I don't know you. Like you were among those that were my bride. You looked like them. You sounded like them. But I don't know you. And that would be the question is, do you know the Lord? Or do you just know about the Lord? Every week in church, there are people that know about the Lord. But it hasn't really taken place. The word know there, it's interesting. It means to be intimate. It's the word that Mary used when she said, wait, I'm pregnant? How can I be pregnant because I've never known a man? I've never been intimate with a man. Do you know the Lord? Is he the master of your life? He owns you. He purchased you. Your life is his. That transaction is a done deal. He took your sin. He's given you his righteousness. The oil is in your lamp. Is the Holy Spirit in you? He's bearing witness with your spirit. You're a child of God. You know what? If the Holy Spirit is in you, you 100% know it. There's no doubt. You know. I put my faith in that way. I know him. His Holy Spirit's in me, has sealed me, bearing witness with my spirit. I'm a child of God. And if you don't know that, you want to know that. If you don't know the Lord in a way that it's more than words, you want to know that. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray, to know the Lord, to pray that His Holy Spirit would fill you. Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. And so watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Jesus is coming. Let's stop here. Let's bow our heads and take a minute. Would you set things aside? And would you just do some searching? What's your gift? And if you don't know your gift, just tell the Lord, pray that. Go, Lord, I want to know my gift. Maybe He would even speak to you today what your gift is or what your gifts are. Maybe if you had, you could hold out your fingers and think to yourself, do I have more than one gift? What if I were to say I have a gift, what would my gifts be? And maybe just to search the church that's ready. Are you using your gifts? Are they in operation? There's work to be done. Are you about the work? Are you serving? Just maybe search. If the church that's ready is a church that's serving, where are you serving? How are you serving? I pray that just stays with you, not a Sunday, but the rest of your life. Where am I serving? Is your light burning? Are you a lamp that's burning? That'd be just a good inventory question. Am I hiding my light? Is it very hard for anyone to know that I'm a believer? Is my light shining? Is it smoldering or is it burning? Is there desire in your life to be a burning and shining lamp that others would say that they rejoice because of your light? Maybe just search a little. Just to be really honest, am I smoldering? Am I a light? Do I hide my light? Maybe you could just take an assessment of what's going on. Are you waiting and watching? Do your decisions, does the Lord coming play into those? Would you describe yourself as you're ready for Jesus' return? I think the life I'm living, I'm ready. I think I would hear those words, well done. I think many could say that. I'm not perfect by any means, but I do think the Lord would say, well done. But maybe there's something going on that's not well with your soul. Maybe something that the Lord is needing to deal with that you wouldn't want that to be happening if the Lord came next week or this summer. Am I ready for His return? And you know, the parable is, it can have many, many different meanings, but I think the simplest meaning is of the 10 virgins is in the last days, there's going to be a church that has no Holy Spirit. They have apostles, they have temples, they have buildings, they have witnesses out in the neighborhood. They look like churches. They baptize, but there's no oil in those believers. And then I think in every church, that'll be the situation. There'll be some that are the wise and some that are the foolish. Is it possible that you're the foolish in the story? Maybe just the honest evaluation assessment is, I don't know if I know the Lord. I don't know if I really know Him in a way that He saved me and filled me with His Holy Spirit, that I'm now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if that would be you, why don't you could just pray. Pray right now. If there's conviction in your life that you realize the door's open, but you haven't gone through it, go through it right now. tell the Lord, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord, my Lord, not just words. And just pray that. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And you can confess it, Jesus, be Lord of my life, be the master of my life, be the owner of my life and my breath and my talents and my possessions and my time. If you don't know that, pray that. Lord Jesus, I want it to be more than words. And pray it, Holy Spirit, let this be the day that you fill me and change me. Right? I'm talking to those of you that you don't know if the Holy Spirit is in you. Pray that. Pray that, Holy Spirit, this is the day. I'm opening my heart. Holy Spirit, fill me and change me. Make my life a lamp that's burning. And just while we have everyone's eyes closed and heads bowed, I just want to ask, if you're someone that's here today and you feel like this could be a saving morning for you, a saving prayer that you've been calling to the Lord, that you want to know him and you want the Holy Spirit to be filling your lamp, would you just identify who you are? Would you raise your hand? I want to pray over you. I want to pray for you that this is a powerful, powerful morning of the Holy Spirit filling you and working in you. Beautiful. It's so special. Hold it up and you can put it down, but just hold it up where I can see you. Anyone else, this is a morning you were praying that? You were praying, yeah, I want to know the Lord. I don't want it to be words only. And I want the Holy Spirit in me. I want the Holy Spirit to change my life. Anyone else prayed that this morning? Just hold it up where I can see you. Yep, beautiful. Two of you, three of you, beautiful. Anyone else? You were praying that, like this would be your time to not hide it, but come in the light and say, yeah, I was praying that. I'm not going to hide that. That is the, if you're hiding it still, I don't think you're going to be able to leave here and be the light you're asking to be. I'm just going to ask again, anyone else that you were praying that for Jesus to be the Lord of your life? Beautiful in the back. Four of you, five of you, anyone else? This is just a morning. I want to pray over you. Last call, if this was your morning that you're saying, Lord, and you think it's in a saving way, and you really want the Holy Spirit to fill you and change you and make you a burning lamp. Anyone else? Five of you? Yeah, let's pray, Lord. Let's just pray as a church. We just pray these that raise their hand that Lord Jesus, these words will take on new meaning. And you'll just pour out your spirit and fill these lives and let them burn so bright. And you pray that as you raise your hand, Lord, let my life burn bright. And you can just pray the final prayer that, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. And you can just say that, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. And I believe you're coming again. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let's stand up this morning. We've got